Just a few moments ago, I spoke to the well-known political analyst Petr Yust about the election results, and I began by asking him whether in the end it was such a surprise that Zeman took the win.
Well, actually, the result was more or less predictable because Miloš Zeman's public opinion polls showed a little lead over Karol Schwarzenberg, although some expectations were that the result would be much closer. The difference, which is approximately 10%, 55% for Miloš Zeman and 45% for Karol Schwarzenberg, is a little bit larger than expected. It was expected that it's going to be a close shave election that would be like 51% and 49% for the other one. From this point of view, it is kind of surprising, but it's actually no different from what we see around in other countries like in Slovakia or in Poland, where usually the results are in similar numbers, like in the Czech Republic, I mean, concerning the second round and the runoff between the two candidates.
Both campaigns were, of course, very closely watched in the 2 weeks leading up to the second round of voting. And Mr. Zeman's camp came under criticism in the media, widespread criticism for stooping to so-called dirty tactics, making use of half-truths or even lies. Do you think, first of all, that that criticism is justified? And is it, in the end, a strong part of the strategy that helped him win?
Well, it is, I think. It is the strategy which helped Miloš Zeman to win, like trying to point out things which are not as serious problems as they are actually made up to be a problem. The problems in a campaign were more or less like made up artificially. The issues like the Beneš decrees or the issues of the relations between the Czech Republic and Germany are solved already from the past years, but they have been reopened artificially because Miloš Zeman and his team, they knew that this is quite a sensitive issue in a Czech society. Still, in a large part of the Czech society, the Czech-German relations are seen a little bit more carefully, many people being afraid of Germans coming back and taking over the properties they had before they were expelled. So these are examples of when Miloš Zeman and his team were using, if not half-true things, but generally artificially made-up problems, although the role of the president and all the agenda that the president is involved in would be more open for discussion about much more serious topics and much like more relevant topics in the presidential campaign.
It's true that, and just to clarify, it is an interesting aspect of this election that the Beneš decrees did become kind of a turning point, given that it's a 70-year-old mm-hmm. topic, the expulsion of ethnic Germans from Czechoslovakia after World War II. In this sense, was Mr. Schwarzenberg, who spent much of his life abroad in neighboring Austria, at a disadvantage?
Generally, it was a disadvantage for Mr. Schwarzenberg, because he is connected with the German-speaking world, whether it is Germany or Austria, where he spent most of the time, or Switzerland, because he also holds the Swiss citizenship. So people generally, when there were references towards Germany, references towards the Beneš decrees and Sudetenland, they generally put Karol Schwarzenberg in one pile with all this, because his connection towards Austria and towards Switzerland made it like a natural connection also to the Germany and the whole German-speaking area. So this generally was quite disadvantage for Mr. Schwarzenberg. And it's really surprising for many political scientists or sociologists or even a psychologist that these past issues, the Beneš decrees issues, like you said, 70 years old, are playing so big role in the current campaign, in the current time when not only the Czech Republic, but the Europe faces much, much more crucial problems, economic problems, political problems, minorities, and so on. So in this situation, to solve something which is 70 years past is quite interesting, and I don't think it showed a good level of a political culture of Czech society.
Anybody who knows a bit of recent Czech history or Czech politics, certainly from the 90s, will be familiar with Miloš Zeman. Obviously, mm-hmm. he was one of the three big names to come out of the 90s after Václav Havel, after Václav Klaus. In that sense, is there a certain logic, say, to him following in the footsteps of the other two?
Generally, I can agree with your premise. However, the question is whether Miloš Zeman is not part of the generation which is considered to be already over. Miloš Zeman is part of this first generation of post-November politicians. However, it seems that after 20, 22, 23 years since November, since the transition to democracy, there should be probably a space open for a new generation. This is what many people thought, and this is also what many people expressed by, for example, nominating candidates like Vladimír Franz or Zuzana Rojtová, like people who are not directly connected with the first generation of the post-November politicians. So Miloš Zeman definitely belongs to this, let's say, among the founding fathers of the Czechoslovak and later Czech democracy. However, his rule throughout 1990s was more controversial than it would justify him to seek other positions. However, people probably saw it the way that his experiences and probably the natural belonging to the first generation of the politicians since 1990s gives him some kind of justification to hold the highest office in the Czech Republic.
Certainly a certain style of politics that was practiced in the 90s and at the turn of the millennium, one in which Miloš Zeman was involved as former prime minister or as then prime minister, is something that some voters will be worried about. After all, there were connections to shady individuals such as former advisor Miroslav Šlof. Do you think that as head of state now that he will go to greater pains to distance himself from that past and sort of reinvent himself?
What is interesting that Miloš Zeman, of course, faced these questions throughout the campaign. However, he actually never responded to these criticisms with, let's say, connections to some past advisors. Or if he responded, he said that there are no connections at all. While today we saw that Miroslav Šlof was actually one of the closest people around Miloš Zeman in his campaign headquarters when waiting for the results. So actually the Miloš Zeman argument that he's not actually keeping contact with him anymore is not so true. The concerns that Miloš Zeman will bring again to the presidential office some of the people who were around him also when he was the prime minister. So the concern is still here, and we are going to probably closely watch who is he actually going to pick up as his closest advisors, closest cooperators. But we can never make sure that these people won't be connected to him unofficially or non-formally, which still might bring the threats like they were in 1990s when these people were around him.
In terms of president, do you think that we will see a change in approach? Because one of the things that he promised during the debates was that he would be much more involved in day-to-day politics, mm-hmm. at least regarding mm-hmm. some reforms, tax reform, mm-hmm. some social issues, that he would speak in parliament more than perhaps his predecessor, Václav Klaus. Is he going to be more active, more hands-on?
Czech Republic is parliamentary democracy, and political scientists, they always warn that the direct elections of the president might create a new center of power, which could disbalance the relations between the institutions in parliamentary system. In parliamentary system, the major link and the core of the system should be relations between the government and the parliament, respectively the Chamber of Deputies, the lower chamber of the parliament. If we are going to have the president who is going to take very activistic approach, who is going to be much more included in the day-to-day business, which is being run on this link between the government and the parliament, then we actually are approaching towards more semi-presidential system like they have in France. And Miloš Zeman actually has never hidden his desire that he wants to influence the daily politics which is happening in the government. He has never hidden his ambitions to visit the governmental sessions much more often than his predecessor. And this might really remind more shift to semi-presidential system than to parliamentary system, which Czech Republic still, based on the constitution, is. What is going to be in practical politics, we'll see. But we can expect from the previous Miloš Zeman quotations that he will be much more activistic and he will be much more involved in the governmental and cabinet policies, which may be now threat for the right-wing government, But I would say it's going to be the same threat for a possible left-wing government, which is predicted to come after elections in 2014 if the public opinion polls will remain in this tendency. Even the social democratic governments will probably have a very tough cohabitation with Miloš Zeman, as we know what are the relations between Miloš Zeman and the Social Democratic Party since 2003, when he failed to in running for presidential office, also thanks to part of the Social Democratic Party that refused him.
In his first attempt, of course. If we turn back to the election itself, this was the first direct election, and it seemed that the public was very much much more involved than in the past when the head of state was chosen in a joint session of parliament. And there was talk of this fairly large divide or deep divide between voters of Mr. Schwarzenberg and of Mr. Zeman. Do you think that this divide is something that will gradually disappear now, or is this something that is going to sort of stick around for a while?
The divide was natural. When there are two candidates standing against each other in the second round in runoff, we, of course, expect that the society will form two poles, one pole which would be like pro-Schwarzenberg and one pro-Zeman. And also I expect that after the elections and after the emotions kind of get away, that the society will slowly get back to, let's say, normal status without the deep gap between the two parts, which was formed by the elections. However, I still think that Miloš Zeman, as he is quite a strong person, but also on the other hand, he's a very controversial person, will still initiate some protests, will still keep some group of people who oppose him, who oppose his candidacy, who are not satisfied with the fact that he won. And these people will probably create some protest groups, whether online, on the internet, Facebook, and other social media, or maybe once a while also organizing some protests on the street. I already noticed a few minutes ago that on the Facebook there is already a group which is named Miloš Zeman is not my president. And there was another group which is named Miloš Zeman Countdown. So there is already a group which counts down how many days Miloš Zeman has left in presidential office. So we see that still some remains of the gap between society will be present. However, the majority of society, in my opinion, will fill the gap and will continue live under Miloš Zeman as they would live under Karel Schwarzenberg if he won.
That was political analyst Petr Jus talking about the results of the Czech presidential election and some of the key moments in the campaigns and what kind of a president Miloš Zeman might end up being.